Kelly Smith, the lead pastor at Grace Community Church. If this is your first time with us, we're excited you could be here, excited you could be a part of the service. When we say welcome to Grace Community Church, just so if you're new, so you know, that means nothing to do with the building. The building is just a structure. When we say welcome to Grace Community Church, we say welcome to the family, because the people in this room are Grace Community Church. The church is the people, God's people called together. And so welcome to Grace Community Church. Welcome to part of the family. We are going to be continuing on in our sermon series about the Lord's Prayer. But before we do that, I wanted to talk real quick, and real quick pastoral announcement, of this season of Lent. Part of it is a part of preparation and prayer and fasting. But it's a time also to be preparing to be baptized. And a lot of times in the history of the church, if you were going to be baptized, you would take this time to ready your heart. And you'd take this time to commit to God and say, I want everyone else to know the decision I've made in my heart, that I'm following Jesus with my life. And so coming up in a few weeks, the week before Easter is actually called Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, traditionally here at Grace, we have Baptism Sunday. And it's a time that's a celebration of your life in Christ. A time where you're sitting there letting other people know, I've dedicated my life to the Lord, and the Lord lives inside of me. And I want everyone else to know. I want them to share in this adventure I'm on with God, share in this journey I'm taking, but also know that I'm committing my life to God, and I want you to be a part of it. So we're going to encourage you, if you have never been baptized, if you want to be baptized, and you're sitting there going, this is something I've wanted to do. After service, go to the back table. There's sign-ups back there. We're going to have sign-ups for baptism. And on Palm Sunday, we will be doing them right here in Farmington. And there'll be a time where you can share with others the excitement you have, but share with others really your dedication to live a life for God and to live a life with Christ inside of you. So I'm excited for that, but also, if you're not getting baptized, it is a great time as a family when we talk about Grace Community Church to come and see other people, to celebrate with them, and to encourage them to say, the choice you're making is a right choice. It's a choice to choose good. It's a choice to choose God, and it's a choice to change your life forever. So we encourage everyone to come out for that. But if you wanted to be baptized, sign up out back, get more information, talk to Courtney or Mary, but also go to the sign-up table, and we would love to see you get baptized and recognize that so we can celebrate that with you. All right, we are going to be continuing on today in our sermon series, our Lent sermon series called The Lord's Prayer. And we started this last week, and it's part of this idea that during Lent we focus on spiritual disciplines. And we focus on things like fasting or prayer or giving our life to God more, like these spiritual disciplines that we can work on over these 40 days in preparation and in remembering what's coming up at Easter, where he defeated death and made it so we can have a relationship with him. And so we are focusing this Lent, we are focusing on prayer. And it's something that we wanted to focus on as a church, doing 40 days of prayer. If you've been getting those emails and been participating, that's awesome, where we can pray together for the same things on the same days, focused. And we've already been through the first 10 days of Lent, where we've had the first 10 days of prayer and just finished up this idea of praying for God to have more, to be in your life, in your personal life, and us to be more in Christ during that time. And we're getting ready to shift into now praying for our church, and praying for the life of our church, praying for the leadership, praying for the relationships, praying for outreach within the church. So we started the Lord's Prayer last week, and we're going line through line in the Lord's Prayer. And we started with what's called the first petition. There's six different petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And the first one was this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And we started there because this is what starts all other petitions. This is the focus of everything else, to remember that above everything else, God is God. He rules over all. He's in heaven above, and it's our job to keep his name holy on our tongues, in our hearts, in our lives, and to point everything back to him. No matter what else we're praying for, what else we're doing, we always want to bring glory back to God. Why? Because he's holy, which means he deserves our worship and adoration, because he is good, and he is great, and he is perfect in those things. He is righteous in everything. And so that's what we talked about last week, is keeping God's name holy. That our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy in our hearts. And once we understand that, we now go to the second part, that Jesus taught us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is really that, Jesus saying, here's how you pray. And it wasn't a magical formula like, if you say these words, everything's perfect. He's saying, this is how you pray. First step is recognize God is holy and he's perfect. He said, and here's the second step. In Matthew 6:10, we have the second and third petition that says this. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus starts and he says, look, first petition, God's name is kept holy. He's the Father in heaven. He's your Father. You have a relationship. He's kept holy and everything. And now he lays on us the second and the third petition together, saying, may your kingdom come soon, is what we're supposed to pray. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Both of these petitions are God-focused still. Both of these things are looking at what God's doing in the world, not necessarily doing right in our lives, but what's happening that God's doing all around us, and we're praying for God to be a part of. May something happen God-focused, not my needs, but what should be focused back on God and God's glory. So when we talk about this, we're talking still about the second and third petition of looking back to God and saying, no, now that your name is, I'm keeping it holy on my lips, I'm focused on it, keeping it holy in my heart, what do I want to happen because of that? If I see you as the most perfect being, the most perfect being in everything, because you created everything, you're over everything, and you're holy in everything, then what do I want to happen? If we recognize that God is holy in everything, then we want these two things to happen. And we're going to look at both of these. The first thing that says is, may your kingdom come soon. Here's something we need to recognize. If we recognize that we want God's kingdom to come soon, that means we have to recognize God as our king. See, you don't have a kingdom without a king. If God has a kingdom, that means he's ruling over it. Remember, we already talked about God, our Father, in heaven, right? Father above us, having a relationship with us, but in heaven, over everything, in charge of everything, having created everything. If he's in charge of everything, then that means he's the king of everything. And when we pray, may your kingdom come soon, we're praying that we want him to be king over us, that we want him to be king over all, that we recognize that. And this is something that's important to understand, this idea of having a kingdom, especially this kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is something that was talked about over 80 times in the New Testament. In fact, from the first thing that John the Baptist, when he started talking about preaching and saying what was going to happen, even before Jesus began his ministry, we had John the Baptist out there saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming soon. It's almost here. And Jesus, when he started his ministry, said the same thing. He said, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. They went on to say, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. See, Jesus, when he went around and talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, about God ruling over everything. And the people at the time thought he meant he was going to set up a kingdom on earth that was set up with laws and that was set up with rulers and that was set up with people. And they would go, all right, we're kicking Rome out and we're going to be in charge. And God's going, you just don't get it. I'm setting up a kingdom of heaven where I don't reign in authority over your government. I reign in authority over your heart and over your lives and over your very soul. See, Jesus was talking about this idea of a kingdom of heaven. And when we pray, may your kingdom come soon, it's us recognizing that we want God to be in charge, that we want him to rule over our lives. So if we've already recognized that he rules over everything, right? If he's... the Father of heaven. He rules over everything, our Father in heaven. Then he rules over his people as well. And he rules over us. And we're recognizing that, saying, if we believe that, we want that to happen. We want that kingdom to come even sooner. Make it happen, God. Come back, take care of everything, set it all right. Get rid of sin completely in this world. Have it so it's gone, so it's done. Make it so that we are living in that perfect kingdom. But if we want that, that means we accept it right now. And we're accepting it right now, saying, God, I want you to rule right now in my life. And this is one of those things, don't pray it unless you want it. Right? Don't pray it unless you want it. God doesn't take prayer as this kind of like, oh, it's just buddy-buddy. Don't worry about it. Whatever you say, I don't care. It's a communication with God. And if you're praying, God, please do this in my life, you better be willing for God to say, okay. And you might not always like okay, because it means you have to sometimes give up something, but you always gain more. But you need to make sure, don't pray it unless you want it. It'd be like, you wouldn't pray for something that you don't want. You wouldn't sit there and go, well, you might, right? You might. I know when I was younger, I used to want a vehicle. And there was two vehicles I wanted that looked so awesome. One was the Porsche 911. That was beautiful. The curves on it. It was gorgeous. I wasn't really into girls yet, so that looked hot, right? It was a beautiful vehicle. That and a Gremlin. Man, both of those vehicles I thought were so unique in their own way. And I remember one time going, oh man, God, if I could have one of those cars. You got to be careful what you pray for, people. Luckily, God did not give me a Gremlin. He gave me a Dodge Omni, which was so close. It looked about the same. But when you pray to God, you've got to make sure what you're praying for is something you really want. And if you're praying, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. You're saying, God, I want you to rule over my life as King of all. God, I want you to be in my life, to be ruler of my life, to be in charge of my life. And the interesting thing about this part of the prayer, may your kingdom come, is this understanding that the kingdom is already here. That the kingdom of God is already at hand. It's here, and we're living in it. And at the same time, the kingdom is not yet here. And this is a really weird thing to understand, but it's this idea that it is and is not at the same time. It's the now and not yet. See, we see it contradictions is what it looks like in Scripture. If you look at Matthew 12:28, it says, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. These are the words of Jesus. He's casting out demons. He says, people are accusing him, saying, he's cast out demons. Maybe he works for Satan. And God's like, Jesus says, listen, a house divided never stands. If I was working for Satan, why would I be kicking out my own demons? No. I'm here and I'm using the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit. And if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The kingdom of God is happening right now. But then he goes on to say, when he's having the Last Supper, when he's in the upper room, he says this, I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And we sit there and go, wait a second, Scripture's contradicting itself. Jesus is even contradicting himself. He's speaking against himself. He doesn't even know what he's saying, except he does. Because he's saying, look, the kingdom of God is here. It's in front of you. It's me. It's this realm that I'm creating that's in your heart and in your mind and your soul, but it's ruling over heaven and all. It is the kingdom of heaven. And you can see it from the very beginning in Adam and Eve. works through the people of Israel as he's coming through to the time of Jesus and in our lives now. The kingdom of heaven is all about him gathering a people back to him. That he created us, and then the whole, as you look through the story of the Old Testament, as you look through Jesus' words, that he's gathering us closer to him, to be in a relationship with him. And he said, I'm here among you now. The kingdom of heaven is here. And when he defeated death on that cross, and when he died and rose again, sin had lost its grip on us. That death had lost its grip. Death has been defeated. But guess what? We're still living in the here and now, where sin is still pulling at our flesh. And now we have the kingdom of God amongst us, but we still have sin that's trying to hold on us. And Satan knows the story, and he knows he's been defeated, and he knows death is lost, but he is in the death throes, just shaking, going, I want to take everyone with me as I go. So the kingdom of heaven is here. But at the same time, the kingdom in its all its glory has not yet arrived. Not until the second coming of Christ. Not until Jesus conquers everything and says a new earth is formed. And a new heaven. And sin is no more. So the kingdom of heaven is here, and it is, and it's not yet. We're living in these between these two things. So we're saying, God, you rule in my heart. You're king over me. But I want your kingdom, your final kingdom, to come soon. I want all of this fixed, repaired, and sin gone soon. It's really saying that we pray for the ultimate triumph. We're praying for the ultimate triumph in Christ in gathering the church, that he gathers the entire church to himself, that he brings us together, that he brings us in unity and in heart and in spirit together, where we worship him as one. It's praying for the triumph of defeating sin's hold on our life, and it's praying for the ultimate triumph of Christ and the advancement of his kingdom. To be honest, when we pray, may your kingdom come soon, it's a missionary prayer, is what it is. It's what we talk about when we say, tell, love, go. The Great Commission. Go. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. May his kingdom come. May God come on this earth. May he repair everything that's broken. May it become perfect again in his sight. It's an incredibly important prayer in our life. If we're looking to grow in God, when we pray, we say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. We want all glory to be pointed back to you and recognize your holiness. Then we start praying, God, may your kingdom come soon. I want your kingdom and you to rule over as me as king to come soon. And when that happens, and when we recognize that God is king of our lives, then this next step happens. We start seeking his will. And we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, this is a natural progression that we see. Honoring God, looking up to him, going, we recognize you as Father in heaven. We recognize you as holy in everything. Perfect in good and righteousness. We want your kingdom to come for you to rule over us. And when you rule over us, we want your will to be accomplished. Not my will, but your will. And really, this is, I will tell you what I believe to be the most dangerous prayer you can pray, is your will be done. Because it is a prayer of actually realizing that we're not in control. And then you give it all up to God. So when you say, God, your will be done, you recognize it's whatever you want, God, because you know it's best. And sometimes that may hurt. Sometimes it will be very tough. But it means that God gets all the glory. That God's will, which is perfect in everything, comes to pass. And when we pray for God's will to be done, when we say, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven, but that your will is done here, we're really praying for three things. One, we're praying to discover God's will. We're saying, God, if your will, we want your will to be done, we need to know what it is first. In Psalms 119, verse 18, it says, open my eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instructions. It's this idea when we're seeking God's will and saying, God, your will be done. We're saying, what is it? Tell me your will. I want to discover what it is. Open my eyes. Let me see. We want to see what you want, God. We want to start to understand what you want us to understand. How do you see this world? Because we want that will, that choice, those things in our lives. We want your will to be done, God. The things that you want. So we have to discover what that is. We're asking God to help us discover. God, if we want your will to be done, what is it? Show it to me. When you show it to me, God, help me to understand it. When we pray your will be done, the second part we're saying is, I want to understand what your will is, God. I want to understand it. I want to understand why you want this. I want to understand the reason for it, because once I understand the reason for it, now I know more of your heart. We won't always understand the reason for it, but that's something we're asking and seeking from him. Your will be done. What is it? Why? In Ephesians 5:15 through 17, it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. This can be a very difficult one. So many people pray and say, you know what? All right, God, what do you want in my life? Like, and I don't know what I want. I don't know what God wants. I don't hear him speaking. I'm not seeing any signs. I don't even know what to do. How do I even do it? I pray, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And you're sitting there, and you're waiting. And you're not quite sure. Well, there's some really good ways that we've seen throughout Scripture of how we can find God's will in our life. And the ways who understands God's will have been laid out for us. The first is this, is what you're seeking or what you think you're supposed to do in agreement with Scripture. If you're sitting here going, God, show me your will. Should I be doing this? Should this happen? Well, what's Scripture say? Are the words of Jesus saying, yes, that is good, that is holy, that is right, that is just? Or is it saying, no, turn around the other way, go 180. You are not coming towards me. The words of Jesus point us where he wants us to go, points us in how he wants that relationship to live. Another way to understand Scripture is to understand God's will is to seek godly counsel. Remember, God has already worked a lot of these things in someone else's life. They've already gone through this process. They've already been turned. They're already seeking God's will. Go to them. Seek the godly counsel. Now, notice the key word I put there, godly counsel. Not just counsel from anyone because it makes you feel good. And there is a difference. I guarantee if I sat there and went to a certain one to make a decision, and I know it's wrong, I guarantee you I can find people that will support me and say, you should do it because it'll make you happy. And any decision I want to do, I can find support for. That's just getting counsel from people. But I'm saying seek godly counsel. They're going first, if you feel God's pointing you a certain direction, and you have his will in your life, and you're supposed to be doing something, do you look at Scripture? Does Jesus, is that the heart he had? Is that what he was showing us to do? And then go to others and seek godly counsel, where their focus is having God's will in your life also. When you do that, you start to go, all right, now I'm starting to get a perspective of what God wants. I'm starting to see how God's worked in other people's lives to show me how to work in mine. The next thing is to be patient. Many times when we want God's will in our life, we want it right now. Why? Because we're impatient people. We don't like to wait. I've been waiting to win the lottery for like 25 years. And all I need Just, I don't need it when I'm 99. Now would be much better. Be patient. Be patient to understand God's will. God's not in this for the quick fix. God's in it for the long haul. He's in it for your soul. He's in it for your relationship with Him. And the last thing we need to do in that is pray. There's no better thing to seek God's will than continuing to pray to Him, continuing to talk to Him, continuing to have Him speak into your heart and have a deeper relationship with Him. If you want to understand what God's will is in your life, He's already given us points in Scripture. He's got other people that He can help counsel us. If you want to know God's will, just continue to talk to Him. Continue to say, God, what is your will in my life? What do you want me to do in this situation? And it doesn't matter how small it is. I've heard many people say, well, it just didn't seem like I need to bug God with it. Really? God cares about every aspect of your life. He cares about your needs. We even see next week, we start talking about praying to God for our exact needs, for the things we need. He cares about you. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you flourish. I didn't say He wants to see you become rich. I said He wants to see you become rich in His love, rich in His spirit. He wants what's best for you in your relationship with Him. When we do that, when we say, God, may your will be done, and we try and discover it and understand it, the last thing we have to do is submit to it. And that can be hard because you can pray for God's will, and then you find out really what you think God's will is in your life, and then you go, I don't really want your will anymore. There are many times where I've had to make a choice of going, well, I know what is right, and I know where God's pointing me and leading me, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. That doesn't really fit into my plans that I had. That's kind of where the rubber meets the road, is are we submitting to God's will in our life? And this prayer is saying that. I want to know your will. I want to understand your will. But God, I want to submit to your will. It says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. But this is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. When we submit to God's will, then what God wants is what we start to want. Because God's heart becomes our heart. The way God sees this world is the way we start to see this world. When we are seeking God's will, and we say, God, your will be done, what happens is we start to have a heart more and more for God, that He lives inside of us, and we are changed and transformed. We're transformed into His image in our life. This prayer is incredibly powerful because it really focuses on the life-changing attitude of no longer going, here's what I want, but God, what do you want? What matters most to you? So when we pray these things, we're really praying this. We're praying for God's kingdom and His will in these areas, in your life, in the church, community, and in the world. You're saying, God, I want your kingdom to come in every single one of these areas. I want your will to be done in every single one of these areas. How we deal with my children, how we deal with my family, how we deal with coworkers, how I love a spouse, how I do everything, how I deal with every relationship, God. I want you to be king of that decision. I want you to be king of my life. I want you to be king of the world, and I want your will to be done in every single aspect. This is a powerful prayer to pray because it really is about heart change, about attitude change, and about how having a life in Christ that is so focused on Him that your will becomes His will. That you start to do what He wants to do because He's in you so much. And it's something we'll always fight against with our skin, with our flesh, with our sin nature. But that's why we continue to pray, God, your kingdom come soon. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord God, praying that prayer can be a dangerous prayer. We've talked that before in the sermon series long ago. That's a dangerous prayer, that your will be done, God. That your kingdom come. Because if we truly believe it, God, then we're willing to do anything that you want us to do. That we step out of all our comfort zones. That we could lose everything that we find so dear and precious. We could lose our possessions. Everything we have, God, is put in your hands. God, this is the prayer that you gave us because this is the way you want us to live. You want us to place everything that we have in your hands because we recognize that it's already yours. It wasn't ours to begin with, God. We're just stewards of what you have and you've given us. We're keepers of it, but it belongs to you. God, I pray that we will want your will to be done in this world. That we'll want your will to be done in our lives. And that we want to see your kingdom come with you ruling over it, Lord. In its perfection and all its glory. Lord, I pray that this becomes a heart prayer for our church. God, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. Lord, I pray these things in your holy, blessed name.